Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Well, I'll tell you, it's such an honor. It's such a privilege to be able to serve God in the capacity that we do. How many of you guys feel that way? How many of you guys feel privileged to be able to serve God in the capacity that you serve him? I think that I really think that it's huge. And a lot of times it looks like, because we live our lives, I'm Bill Shear, by the way, for you guys that are new. But we live our lives and we get carnal rewards and we get natural rewards, and where we work and we get paychecks, and then spiritually, the dynamics change, they're different. You know, spiritually, there's things that we sow into, and there's things that we do, and it doesn't seem or feel like because the rewards are completely different. Our natural rewards and our spiritual rewards are completely, absolutely different, and we have to understand that and acknowledge that. And you know what, these interns, the new intern class, I spoke to them last week, and just in talking to them, I said, how many of you guys are here for the sole purpose that you want to grow? It's for growth. And every one of them raised their hand, and I knew that would happen. And if I would ask you guys that today, if I'd say, how many of you guys are here to grow, you'd all raise your hand. And then, so grow becomes the be-all, end-all of what we do and why we do it. And then I think we miss out. The perspective gets skewed because growth is not the end. It's not the way God designed us, and you should write this down, but the way God designed us is that if we are healthy, we are going to grow. That our growth is determined by our health. If you're eating right, if you're sleeping right, if you're recreating, if you're getting exercise, if you're hydrating, then you're gonna be growing. You're gonna be healthy. Okay, and anything that's healthy is growing. If it's not growing, you're dead. See, that's what you have to understand. There has to be that resurrection power that hits your life. And what God wants to do, but see, God wants to take you from that step, the first step. It's not the end step. It's the first step is that we grow. The second step is that we can see, is that our eyes are open and there's a new perspective on things and we see things differently. You know, the challenges, the enemies that are in our life and the challenges that we have, that once we start growing and we're connected, we begin to see. It's like, oh my gosh, this, now my platform is God's promise, and that enemy shrinks up then because we magnify God, making his promise our platform. But see, that's not even the end. There's another phase that rolls through, and that's that we are transformed. See, we grow to be able to see, and we see to be transformed. There might be marriages in this room right now that, man, you're having a hard time connecting. Pastor Sandy and I are in a completely new phase of life, it seems like, that has hit us in the last year and a half and things. But it's like we just have to learn this phase. How do you do that? Well, I've got to grow. The situation, you look at the three men that were up here by these interns, and then you look at these interns, and a year from now, when we graduate this class, you're going to look back and think, this is what these guys were a part of this year. We're probably going to start a church or two this year. We're gonna open up a sports complex on this property this year. See, that's the excitement of the internship, is they're building but they're personally growing, and from that they're building. But then they see that things are difficult, and even if they look a little bit impossible, I can overcome because of the power, the resurrection power that's on the inside of me. But then to be transformed, that's the end. That's the be-all. That's the sovereign will of God for you in your life. It really is. See, there's people that'll tell you that calamity or a trial or a test or a broke arm or something like that that's the will of God. That's the sovereign will of God. It's just the sovereignty of God, that train wreck. No, 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 no. The sovereignty of God scripturally is for us to be transformed into the image of his son. And you know what? The things that we go through in life, man, if our heart's right, if we're putting God first, Man, if we get knocked down and get back up, if we stumble and we allow someone to help us up, if we treat people that stumble gently and reverently and honoring God in how we do it, man, you know what's going to happen, man? We're going to grow and we're going to see things more clearly. All that we might see, God. You might not think you have enough money to get through. You might think your marriage is failing. No, let me just tell you, you've got to grow. In order to grow, you've got to be healthy. What do? You take the right things in. Man, the diet of your life, what comes into your life and what comes out of your life has to be measured. You have to inspect everything that comes into your life and everything that goes from your life. It's that pivotal. We've got one shot at this, I'm just telling you. Our days are numbered. See, we've got to understand that we are on this earth for a time. This is the time that God has appointed for you and me to live on this earth. And you know what? He's put something on the inside of all of us to do something dynamic while we're here. Significant change in people's lives. Man, you'll say, well, man, I'm giving and I'm tithing and, man, I'm looking for a return. Don't look for a return. What are we giving toward? Change lives. Man, every single day on this property, every single day at this church, lives are significantly changed, and it's overwhelming for me. The spiritual footprint that we are laying on this earth is just amazing to me. The things that are happening. Man, the church at Skytook. Man, the people right now that, man, God's voice is dim and his light is dim and his voice is heard small. Man, we've got to look at that. We've got to say, no, you know what? We got to get into that area and we got to flip the light on and we've got to turn the volume. Man, we don't want God's voice to be muted because it's not a trendy, fun, exciting place for us to live. We've got to look at it and think, no, you know what? I'm going to go to the highways and the hedges and compel them in that his house may be full. See, that's the whole heart of God. It's the idea of God. But I have to be transformed into the image of his son. Pastor Sandy and I were at our breakfast table recently and we were just talking. And this is what we do. We go through details and, man, I see things from a certain perspective and she sees things from a different perspective. We're looking at the same things, but we see them perspectively different because we're in different places and there's different angles on it. Man, most of what I see from here. Well, it's we have to flip the lens once in a while. And, you know, change the perspective, and that's what I want to do today. We were talking recently, she and I, and the number one thing, and I'll just tell you, man, the music, I love it. Our kids and youth and, man, our babies are taken care of. Everything's clean, everything's safe. Man, they're having fun. Man, they're learning, they're growing. Man, we want them to be able to put on the lens of the kingdom and to be able to see their lives. But, you know, looking at this, the number one thing, I'll just tell you, in our lives is God's presence. And I know that sounds hyper-spiritual, but it's the anointing. It's his presence in our lives. Man, you want your marriage to turn around? It's God's presence. You want your health to overcome in your health? It's God's presence. Yeah, you can change your diet and you can change your fitness and you could go organic and holistic or whatever that. But the bottom line is, I'm telling you, in his presence is fullness of joy. And that joy is my strength. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might because of the joy that I have, because of his presence, because of the anointing. See, the anointing is pivotal. It's, man, I don't want to do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit. Man, I want to make sure that, man, our lives we're instruments and we're conduits of every great thing that God wants to produce on the earth. I'm telling you, everything that God is ever going to do, he's already done. It's all available for us now. See, the key is, but we have to deal with things. We have to deal with our flesh. When temptation hits our life, our flesh, it feels like sin. But it's not. Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted in like manner as us, yet knew no sin. How could he go through his life and not sin, yet we're tempted and stumble? I'll tell you how that is. Jesus wasn't a needy person. Jesus had the revelation of God to know that all his need was met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He knew that his need was met. He wasn't looking for something else to meet his need. Yet we scratch it, try to scratch it out on the earth, trying to find something to meet our need. But I'm just telling you, it's got to get to a place where we begin to grow. And I know you're growing. I see it in your, man, there's so many people that are getting married, and there's people that are having babies, and there's people that are getting promoted, and there's people that are starting businesses, and there's people, it just seems like people are flourishing all around us. Man, I know you're growing, but that you see where your job, your paycheck isn't your source anymore. That becomes the seed that you use. Man, did you see that 90% of your income that God has blessed is much far greater than 100% that he hasn't? See, that you begin to see and you see things, you see the perspective on it where God's hands on your life. Man, if you just leave here today knowing that God's hands on your life, that the work that he started in you, he's faithful to complete it. Man, the work that God started in your life, he's faithful to complete it. The work God started in you, he's going to complete it. He's not taking a day off in your life. Please hear me today. But see, I want to pastor you a little bit today. If you don't mind a little bit of shepherding, a little bit of pastoring today. In Ephesians, the first chapter, turn your Bibles on, flip it open in the book that you have. Be ready to take some notes. Be ready to underline and circle some things. But Ephesians 1:15, it says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love, this is Guts Church. Man, the people have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Man, there's churches all over the world that want to be you. Why? Because they've heard of this. Man, if you just take a picture of this, take a picture of this with your phone and you look at it and you think, you know what? This is who I am. This is me right here. Man, that God's faithful, and we have faith in Jesus, man. And we love people, no matter what. Look around the room and the diversity in this room. Oh, my goodness. Man, people aren't walking through here with their antennas up and their feelers out looking to be offended. Man, they're walking by offensive things every single day. It's interesting. Just recently, I realized every time I go into Quick Trip, I'm offended. Every time. I don't know what it is about the Quick Trip, but every single time. And I'll tell you why. The last time, man, I was going in, and there's this little old lady on a walker. And I'm telling you, it's like this. It was like, oh my gosh, I just wanted to pick her up, and I wanted to take her back to her vehicle. She was in an old Caprice, and I wanted to take her back to her car, and I wanted to fill her car up with gas, and I wanted to say, look, what do you want? I'll go get it for you. I'll take it to your house. What do you need? And as she's going in, she got about 10 feet from the door, and like three teenage boys go running by her, go flying through the door, and none of them get the door for her. And it was like, and I walked into the Quick Trip. I popped them all in the back of the, no, I didn't, but I, with everything in me, I wanted to let them lean down and let her do it, but I don't know how to transition that. So let's go to verse 16. Ephesians 1:16. We don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers. I'm telling you, you sitting here today, you're being prayed for constantly. I'm just telling you, in our home, in our office, with our staff, amongst leaders, in businesses all over town. And then verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Stop right there. This is where things shift. This is the shift that has to happen. This is where the pastoring part comes in. And it becomes easy to pastor because the word's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. He's giving to you, okay? You don't have to earn it. You don't have to ring the bell. You don't have to jump through the hoop. You don't have to be a trained SEAL. You just have to receive it by faith, okay? Give to you. Now listen, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Remember Solomon? Man, one thing I'm going to give you. What do you want? I want wisdom. You're like, you have asked for the greatest thing, and with that wisdom, you're going to get some understanding. Look, wisdom and revelation, knowledge of him. The key here is wisdom. That's how you. That's now the progress of our life. The process of our life becomes the progress of our life because of God's wisdom, but the revelation is how we see things. See, so we're growing because of the wisdom, and the revelation gives us a new perspective to see. We see things completely differently now. So now, in the knowledge of him, how do you get to the knowledge of him? You get to the knowledge of him in his word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So now we get to know God in His Word. People that'll say, man, I need a personal prophecy. No, you just need to read His Word. Man, you read His Word, and then you get a confirming word of prophecy. Man, Dick Mills Ministry, a dear friend of ours, Whitney's grandfather, a tremendous ministry gift. Man, he'd give people words. It was all scripture. And most of it was just confirming in people's lives. Man, God confirms His promise in your life. It is powerful. Man, you get to in the knowledge of Him. But then you look at it and you think, okay, it's like raising our kids. I want you to be a good kid. I want you to be a strong athlete. I want you to be a good student and a smart kid. And I want you to have a great life. It's like, okay, all that's great. And I feel like that's how church is. Okay, man, you could be delivered today. Any of you guys have an addiction, you have an issue, you have something you need to overcome, you could be delivered. Okay, how we get there is one thing, but where do you start? I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to get over this offense. I know that, man, I was sexually abused as a young child. You may say that, and you'll say, I know I'm supposed to get over it, but where do I start? Well, let me tell you, verse 18 is where you start. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You're not in the dark anymore. Things aren't dim. Things aren't out of focus anymore. Man, things come into focus, and there's an enlightenment that comes in. But you back up to verse 17. It's a gift that you receive. He gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. And then he comes across with three powerful things. That you may know what is the hope of His calling, your purpose in life. In the margin of your Bible, just write, my purpose. See, there's so many people that you don't have a purpose in your life. Listen, because you're so busy. And I'll tell you, busy is like a badge of honor for us. When's the last time that you called somebody and said, man, how's it going? What's going on? Man, I'm just telling you, I'm just resting in the Lord. I'm just in a place in my life where I'm just allowing His peace to act as an umpire in my life. And I'm just in a rest. And you'll think, well, you lazy bum. Because the badge of honor is, how you doing? Busy. Whew. I am covered up. It's crazy. It's so crazy. No, you know what? We miss out on purpose when we live in crazy. And the hope of His calling, and then the purpose in life. And then the second is, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? If you'd let that, I'll just tell you, if you could just take Ephesians 1, 17 and 18 and meditate on that for a couple days, just think about it, just think, okay, God, that the eyes of my understanding are enlightened, that I may know the hope of Your calling. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, that it's collective here. Man, that's why in the first century when they were with Jesus, they pooled everything and there were none needy. There were no needs among them. There were none feeble among them. They were all healthy. They were all secure. They were all fulfilled. Why? Their purpose was living with them. But now Jesus ascended into heaven, and we've got to do it by faith now, not by sight. They did it by sight. Man, they watched the miracles. They watched everything. Man, we're just hoping it's all true, man. We're just putting our faith in it. We're putting our trust in it. And that's where the power is. Man, that's where the power is, that the just, Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Man, you think about that. And next week I'm going to preach. Man, the title of the message is Dig Some Ditches. I remember, man, if you guys were young in the 60s, man, what do you want to be, a ditch digger? If you weren't studying, you weren't going to school, you better go to school. You'll end up digging ditches. Well, in Habakkuk, man, they go to the man of God and they said, look, we're in a drought. We need some rain. We need you to prophesy rain in our behalf. He just stopped. He looked at him. He said, go to the valley and dig some ditches. We don't want to live in the valley. We want to live on the mountaintop. Yeah, you want to live on the mountaintop unless there's a drought. You want to live in the mountaintop unless there's a drought. Because if there's a drought and it starts raining, where do you want to go? You want to go to the valleys. And he said, let me tell you, go to the valleys and dig some ditches. It didn't make any sense because their perception was different. Their perception was wrong. We all want to live on the mountaintop. Yeah, you want to live there until there's a drought in the land. Then you know what you better do? You better be calling in rain and getting to that valley. Some of you guys are in a valley right now and you've lived in that valley for a long time, and it's time for you to start digging some ditches, because God's going to rain and pour out a rain in your life, and it's going to bless you. And let me just tell you, you want to be able to handle it. Now you like say wow or something. So verse 19 says, and this is the third part. Listen to this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the mighty power that works in us, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let me tell you the key. Wait for my cue, Jeff. Let me tell you the key here. You know, you'll hear in the old covenant, before the army and the warriors and the fighting men would go out, they'd send the minstrels and they'd send harpists out. They'd send musicians out. A lot of times enemies were scattered. And I thought about this. I thought, man, we're here at church. And let me tell you, we painfully are detailed in setting up an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to operate in our services, so that people get an hour or an hour and 10 minutes of an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit, see, we create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to operate in. And what becomes hard is that we do it during the week. We prepare an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to operate so that the services, the Holy Spirit can be present and that joy can be full in people's lives and people can overcome, man. Everything we're striking on the rise, and man, we're just making enemies scatter. But then when you leave, play a little bit, will you, Jeff? Now listen to this. Jeff begins to play, and the words being preached, and what him playing does is it lays a bed for the word to be communicated. See, and what happens is as Jeff's playing, man, you're gonna sense this here in a second, that an atmosphere is being set. God's doing something right now. If you will, just trust me for a minute. Just close your eyes. And just begin to dream. Dream about that baby you're carrying. Dream about that business that you want to start. Dream about your blessed marriage, your home, your children. Just dream for a second. See, the atmosphere is conducive to be able to do that. Stop, Jeff. It's gone. Wait a minute. And see, I think that happens when people come to church and we meticulously try to set up an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to operate in. And man, people are inspired and people are motivated. And man, you might even be in here today and you're growing. And man, it's just phenomenal. But when you leave, it sounds like this. Come on, where is that? What? See, you have to create an atmosphere. Begin to play, Jeff. Now it's back. See, this works. But see, we have to be intentional about creating an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to operate. Man, some of you guys may be diseased. Some of you guys may need knee and hip replacements or whatever. And God's transforming you right now. Just because you're dreaming about it. Because now there's a new perspective. You see things differently. See, that's the key. The key is that we can dream again. Let me just make a couple of key points here, is that you're going to make it. I'm not kidding you. You stay here in this church, you bring yourself to this kind of atmosphere, you begin to duplicate this atmosphere in other parts of your life, you're going to make it. God's going to do great things on your behalf. It's going to work. Man, you're going to be able to dream, and incredible dreams are going to come alive in your life. I'm telling you, this is prophetic. See, what happens is we're just preaching God's promise. That makes it prophetic. This is prophecy for you. And it's a more sure word of prophecy. Because it's not just being conjured up by something that I'm hoping is not the meatloaf I ate last night. That it's truly the voice of God. Why? Because we can see it over and over confirmed in His Word. See how this works is that we read it and we begin to believe it. And we become righteous then. And then we read it and we get it, we understand it, and then we read it and we understand it, and then we begin to say it. We read it and we read it aloud, and then we read it, and then we say it, and it becomes, go to Proverbs 4. It comes alive in us, and it's power. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Please, in the margin of your Bible, in Proverbs 4:21, write Ephesians 1:18. In Ephesians 1:18, write Proverbs 4:21. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. For their life to those who find them and health. What else is there? This is the entire circumference of our lives. It's life, it's Zoe, it's the God kind of life, it's the more than enough life, and it's health to all of our flesh. He sent His Word to heal us and deliver us from our self-destructions. God delivered me from my self-destructions. You know what that helps me do? Walk in wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Would you read Proverbs 4:22 with me as we close? Ready? Read it aloud. Read. Okay, now we're going to get together, and I want you to read it passionately. I want you to take ownership of it. Ready? Read. Life to those who find it. Health to all their flesh. Read it again. One more time. Now close your eyes and say it. Go. Say it again. Keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed. Listen, your eyes, your natural eyes are closed, yet you can still see it. Because you're seeing it with your eyes of faith. You're seeing it with the eyes in your heart. Your eyes, the eyes of your heart have been enlightened. Say it again. Go. God, thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the power of your spoken word. God, we have read it. We have found it. We have read it. God, we have received it. And we understand it today by faith. God, I thank you for a supernatural spirit of wisdom and understanding upon every person collectively in this house, everyone watching at Skytook, everyone watching on the internet. God, I thank you for that in the name of Jesus, God, that we leave here and we begin to create an atmosphere about our lives for you to operate. God, what we watch on television, the movies and the music that we listen to, God, help us. God, discipline us. So that we could discipline ourselves. God, we know that your word says that it starts here in your house. And we receive it today. There's a conviction that's in your life about one or two or three things that are in your life. Just things that are in front of you. Discipline yourself to cut those things off. Conversations that you've had. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Forgive and give. We are not bashing people. no matter what their opinion is, no matter what their stand is, we're going to publicly be merciful. We're going to let mercy reign in our house, in our church, in our lives. For it's life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.